Oh, come on now. That was weak. How are you? Good. Raise your sword. If you got a Bible, show me your Bible tonight. You might want to have it handy, electronic version or the print. Go ahead and have them ready, but we're glad to be here tonight. I was trying to remember the last time that I was actually here. And if I remember right, it was 17 years ago right there, saying I do. So we're excited to be able to be back tonight. Given the assignment to speak on the subject of hospitality, I have to say that it was a very interesting study, a study that took me quite a while. I rewrote this lesson about three or four different times. As I progressed in my study, I figured out that I didn't know as much as I thought I did on the subject. And so it took me a little time. Allow me tonight to start with this illustration. He was kind of scary. He sat there on the grass with his cardboard sign. His dog actually was kind of cute, and tattoos running up and down both arms and even his neck. His sign proclaimed him to be stuck and hungry and to please help. I'm a sucker for anybody needing help. She said, "My husband both hates and loves this quality in me." I pulled the van over and in my rearview mirror contemplated this man, tattoos and all. He was kind of young, maybe 40. He wore one of those bandanas tied around his head, kind of biker style, maybe a pirate. Anyone could see he was dirty and had a scraggly beard, but if you looked closer, you could see that he had neatly tucked in the black t-shirt, and his things were in a small, tidy bundle. Nobody was stopping for him. I could see the other drivers take one look at him and immediately begin to focus on something else, anything else. It was so hot outside. I could see in the man's very blue eyes how dejected and tired and worn out he felt. The sweat was trickling down his face. I sat there in my car with the air conditioning blowing in my face. And the scripture suddenly popped into my head. "Inasmuch as ye done it unto the least of these, my brethren, so ye have done it unto me." I reached down into my purse and pulled out a $10 bill. My 12-year-old son knew right away what I was going to do. "Can I take it to him, Mom?" he asked. "Be careful, honey," I said. I warned him and then handed him the money. I watched in the mirror as he rushed over to the man and with a shy smile, he handed him the $10. I saw the man startled stand up and take the money. He put it into his back pocket. And I said, "Good, good. Now he will at least have a hot meal tonight." I felt satisfied, proud of myself. I'd made a sacrifice and now I could go on with my errands. When Nick got back into the car, he looked at me with sad, pleading eyes. He said, "Mom, his dog looks so hot and the man is really, really nice." I knew that I had to do more. "Go back and tell him to stay there. We'll be back in about 15 minutes, I told him. He bounded out of the car and ran to tell the tattooed stranger that we'd be right back. We then ran to the nearest store and bought our gifts carefully. I told him it can't be too heavy. He's got to be able to carry it around with him. So we finally decided on our purchases. A bag of Old Roy dog food, a flavored chew toy shaped like a bone, a water dish, bacon-flavored snacks for the dog, two bottles of water, one for the dog and one for Mr. Tattoos, and some people snacks for the man. We rushed back to the spot where we had left him, and there he was, still waiting. And still nobody else was stopping for him. And with hands shaking, I grabbed our bags and climbed out of the car, and all four of my children followed me, each carrying a gift. As we walked up to him, I had a fleeting moment of fear, hoping this guy was not a serial killer. I looked into his eyes and I saw something that startled me and made me ashamed of my judgment. I saw tears. He was fighting like a little boy to hold back his tears. How long had it been since someone had showed this man kindness? I told him I hoped it wasn't too heavy for him to carry and showed him what we had brought. He stood there like a child at Christmas, and I felt like my small contributions were so inadequate. When I took out the water dish, he snatched it out of my hands as if it were solid gold. And he told me he had no way to give his dog water. He gently set it down and filled it with the bottled water we brought and stood up to look directly into my eyes. His eyes were so blue, so intense, and mine were filled with tears as he said, "Ma'am, I don't know what to say." He then put both hands on his bandana-clad head and just started to cry. This man, this scary man, was so gentle, so sweet, and so humble. I smiled through my tears and said, "Don't say anything." Then I noticed the tattoo on his neck. It said, "Mama tried." As we all piled into the van and drove away, he was on his knees, arms around his dog, kissing his nose and smiling. I waved cheerfully and then broke down into tears. I thought to myself, I have so much. My worries seem so trivial and petty now. I have a home, a loving husband, and four beautiful children. I have a bed. I wonder where he would sleep tonight. My daughter, Brandy, turned to me and she said in the sweetest little girl voice, "I feel so good." Although it seemed as if we had helped him, the man with the tattoos gave us a gift that we will never forget. He taught us that no matter what we look like on the outside, inside each of us is a human being, deserving of kindness, compassion, and acceptance. He opened our hearts. Tonight and every night, I will pray for the gentle man with the tattoos and his dog. And I hope that God will send more people like him into my life to remind me what is really important. If you have your Bible tonight, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm sure we've all been in that kind of a situation before. We see them all over the place, people holding those signs, "We'll work for food," or "Traveling through, stuck, need help," whatever the situation may be. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 9. Peter writes these words, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." The King James Version reads, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Some other versions that you can read, for example, Common English Bible says this, "Open your homes to each other without complaining." The New Living Translation says, "Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay." And the Worldwide English Translation says, "Be glad to take other Christians into your house and care for them, and do it without grumbling." During the times of persecution, people would be displaced from their homes. Missionaries would be traveling all over the world preaching and teaching the gospel. People were coming and going from all different places, traveling abroad. And it was nice to know that you could find a place where a Christian lived with open arms, open doors, willing to share what they had. This act of love that we're talking about tonight, hospitality, is something that we just maybe simply associate with maybe a finger food fellowship after church. Or maybe having somebody over to the house and we're grilling hamburgers and hot dogs, and I'm all for that. That's good. That's fun. But when you think about hospitality, it's a lot more than just food. And we're going to look at some of this tonight in the time that we have. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 3 John. 3 John, I'll give you a minute to get there. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 1126. If you don't, good luck. But I'll give you a minute to get there. 3 John. We're going to start reading. It's only got one chapter, starting at verse 5. "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth." Hospitality in many situations helps us further the gospel. I know within the church we have ministers and missionaries that come in and share the gospel, and they many times will stay over. What better way to show our love and our appreciation and our hospitality instead of putting them up in some hotel? If you're able to, why not open your home and say, "Hey, brother, why don't you stay with me?" Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, because this is what the early church did. They were very hospitable. To be hospitable means simply to be concerned about the needs of others, especially those who are strangers to you. Somebody other than yourself, somebody who is different. Acts chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 44. "All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Look in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of the possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as they had need." Hospitality is, when you boil it all down, is making strangers feel like their family. It was mentioned that my family and I just moved to a little town called Op, Alabama. Anybody heard of it? All right, good. Why don't y'all come see us? We got a spare bedroom and plenty of room in the hallway and the dining room. You can find a place to stay. But this congregation has pretty much done exactly what I'm sharing with you tonight. Hospitality. Open their arms. We were strangers, never been to Op before, never set foot in the building before, didn't know anybody there, and we get there 2 weeks ago, and it's like we'd been gone for like a month or something, and we'd come back home, you know? It was just very welcoming and warm, and we were like family there. The focus of hospitality is on all people. Not just you and me as Christians, but we need to be hospitable to everyone. We want to make sure that everybody around us, anybody we know, feels welcome. Feels like family. Hospitality towards each other as Christians, it prepares us for the kind of evangelism that is going to be the most effective. And that is what you might call friendship evangelism, relationship evangelism. You see, the old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. When people know that you genuinely care about them, you're concerned about their needs and their feelings, and you're showing them that you love them. And that's going to open up doors of opportunity to sow the seed. And hospitality will open those doors, will open up hearts for evangelism like nothing else will. Why? Because we are telling them with our actions that they belong, that they're important, that they have a place here among God's family. We're not strangers. We're family. We're members one of another. And we as Christians, the Lord's church, when we truly grab hold of how much God has loved us and how much love He has poured out on us, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to be able to help it. It's just going to come naturally. It's going to be something that we really don't even think about. We're going to be sharing with them the love of God. Turn to the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Sometimes we need to be reminded of some of the most important things. And tonight, this is a reminder of the most important thing. And that's love. And that's what the foundation of humility is. And what hospitality is all about, is love. Not just love for God, not just love for each other as Christians, but love for everyone. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. If our motivation for doing anything is not love, we need to check ourselves. Because our motivation is love. What was God's motivation? For God so loved the world that He gave. God's motivation is love. Our motivation should be love as well. Without love, it doesn't really matter what we do. We got to have love. And hospitality is just a expression, if you will, of love. If I love you like God has loved me, guess what? I'm going to be concerned about you. I'm going to want to know what your needs are. I'm going to want to try my best to meet those needs, welcome you in, and share with you. As we become more hospitable, you know what we're doing? We are just merely reflecting the love of God that God has poured out onto us in our own lives through Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And hospitality shown to people will let them know that not only do we care about them, but God does. Why? Because we are, as Scripture says, ambassadors for Christ. We represent God everywhere we go. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You realize how hospitable God has been towards us? Think about it. How God has welcomed us into His family with open arms, made it possible for us to be His children. He gave the very best to the very worst. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Look at how verse 8 begins. But God demonstrated or commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ultimate expression of hospitality, of welcoming strangers. It's demonstration of love. When we show love and acceptance to strangers, to people who aren't like us, who are different, maybe even like this tattooed stranger, we are sharing with them the love of God. We are preparing their hearts, the soil of their hearts, for the seed of the gospel. Because when they see Christ in us, they're going to want to know, what is the difference? Why are you treating me this way? What is going on? I can't find this anywhere else. Nobody has been so kind and so friendly and so loving. And there's your door of opportunity to share with them Jesus Christ. And God has shown His love and His hospitality toward us. I want to read to you Psalm 23. and see if you can pick out hospitality. We're familiar with Psalms 23. We usually read it by graveside at a funeral or something. But think about hospitality and see if we can't see it in Psalm 23. I'll kind of point it out to you as we go along. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's the gift of food and benevolence. He restores my soul. The gift of comfort. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The gift of service and serving one another. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. The gift of companionship. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The gift of nourishment. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The gift of shelter. And there are many, many examples where we can look at, more than we have time tonight, where God shows us hospitality. In a much broader sense, hospitality is non-negotiable. It's rather a command. What's the first and greatest command in Scripture? Matthew 22. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hospitality is a huge part of our purpose in life as a Christian. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, for we are His workmanship, that is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hospitality requires me and you to become a servant. To be a servant. The world looks at a servant and thinks it's a lowly position. That if you're a servant, you're a nobody. God looks at a servant in His kingdom and it's tops. If we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we're going to be a servant. We're going to serve other people. We are going to give our lives in humility, faithful obedience. Two of my favorite songs in our songbook, 693 and 694, I believe they are, give us these words. Give me the heart of a servant, tender and faithful and true. Fill me with love, then use me, O Lord. Why? So that the world can see You. The other song says, Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like You. For You are a servant. Lord, make me one too. Lord, make me a servant. Do what You must do. Lord, make me a servant. Make me like You. When you and I become true servants, we are going to serve, and we're going to serve everyone. Not just Christians, not just those that we think might be able to repay us, but we're going to serve even those who are strangers. Those people who most other people will look at and think, no, I don't think so. Kind of scary. Can you think of anybody that doesn't need Jesus? No, I can't. Everybody needs Jesus. And guess what? The world is crying out to see Jesus. The world is watching you and me as Christians, wanting to see Jesus. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His body. We are Jesus. To the people around us. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we serve one another, when we serve all people, we are serving God. And a servant is somebody who has voluntarily surrendered their life, their will, their way to help meet the needs of other people. Hospitality reflects this attitude of a servant. The attitude is, I want to help you. I want to welcome you and serve you and minister unto you in the same way that God has served and ministered to me. The need for hospitality is all around us, isn't it? Can you think of anybody in your circle, in your daily routine, that has a need? We can look around this room even tonight, and there are people among us, probably every single one of us in some way, have a need for someone to show us hospitality, kindness, compassion, mercy. Preparing this lesson was one of those things that kind of wakes you up. And this was one of those things that woke me up. It's entitled, Listen, Christian. It says, I was hungry and you formed a humanities club and discussed my hunger. Thank you. I was imprisoned and you crept off quietly in your church in the closet and prayed for my release. I was naked and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless and you preached to me about the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy. You seem so close to God, but I'm still very hungry, imprisoned, naked, sick, homeless, lonely, and cold. We can talk about hospitality all night long, but that's not going to accomplish much. We got to get busy. We've got to open our eyes. We've got to get out of the way and let God work in us and through us. Many times we can only see the inconvenience that hospitality is going to bring. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter number 25. I want you to listen to Jesus as he breaks down the judgment scene here in Matthew 25. Beginning in verse 31. And I want you to see if you can determine what is the difference between the sheep and the goat. Those on the right side and those on the left side. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Sounds like hospitality to me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and give you clothes? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and need clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did it not for me. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. When we help others, when we serve others and meet needs of other people, guess who we're serving also? We're serving Jesus. Let me ask you this. If Jesus was standing on the corner needing food, if Jesus was needing clothing, if you were driving down the road and you saw Jesus laid out in the grass, would you help him? Probably so. But guess what? We have opportunities all around us. In this building tonight, where you go to work, where you go to school, in your neighborhood, everywhere we go, we have the opportunity to serve. But many times we're like the priest and the Levite in Luke chapter 10. When they came up on the scene of that man who had been beaten, stripped of his clothes and left for dead, many times we like them pass by on the other side. We need to be like that Samaritan that came up on the same scene, saw the same man in need. And Scripture says there in Luke 10 that he had compassion on him. And he took care of him. You see, hospitality is doing good. It is meeting needs. It is helping others. And it's about serving in whatever way that we can. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I think somebody told me we get out at 8:30. Is that right? Good. Colossians chapter 3. I'm just teasing. We're almost done. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily." That is, do it with your whole heart, "as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." The second greatest example of hospitality, of meeting the needs of others in Scripture, I believe, second only to the cross, is when Jesus in John 13 washed the disciples' feet. Usually the job for a lowly household servant. But that need had not been met yet. In John chapter 13, Jesus of all people gets up, takes off his outer robes, girds himself with the servant's towel, and you know what he begins to do. Wash some dirty, nasty feet. Jesus. Washing feet. Jesus wasn't too good, too proud, too full of himself to say, "Hey, somebody else needs to be doing this, not me." Our attitude should be, "Lord, make me a servant. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see the needs of other people that I can help, that I can provide whatever it is that they may need." You see, Jesus is all about other people. That's why he came. If Jesus wasn't a servant, if he wasn't concerned about our needs, would he have came? No. He came to serve. He came to meet our greatest need. And that is of salvation, redemption, freedom from sin. What about the needs that people have around us? Are we striving to meet them? Are we striving to be hospitable? to a world that needs to see Jesus. You may say, I'm too young. No, you're not. You're not too young. I wish I had some of the energy, not all of it, because I don't know what would happen if I had all the energy that a young person had. I wish I could go into some of the schools that you go to, have those opportunities, but I can't because I'm almost 40 years old. Maybe someone who's older than I am. There's a few here tonight. You say, I'm too old. No, you're not. What we've got to do is stop making excuses. We've got to open our eyes and see people the way God does. We get stuck on the tattoos and the outer appearance, the clothes, what they smell like, all the different stuff. We need to see them as God does, as a soul in need. And that's what hospitality is all about. Is about reaching out to people to help them, to serve them, to meet whatever needs they may have. And any one of us in this room can do just that. But it takes a heart that is full of love. It takes an attitude of, I'm not better than you. And Jesus loves me just like He loves you. And I want to share that love with you. And many times the best way to show them that love is not just with words, but with our actions. Serving them. Letting them know that we love them. That we care about them. And we can do that in so many different ways. But we got to take the time. We live in a crazy world, hectic world, trying to keep up with everybody and everything and get it all done. We get going so much and so busy that sometimes we forget. And we push everybody aside, but we need to focus in on other people. Serving them, loving them, allowing Christ to work in us and through us. To a lost and dying world. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy and Your kindness. Father, we pray tonight that You will help us to be more like You. Father, we know that You are loving, that You are compassionate, that You are merciful. Father, that You love people. Father, help us to love people like You do. Help us, Father, to serve people like You do. Father, we thank You for the examples that You have given to us, for opportunities to be reminded of how important it is to be like You. And Father, that's what we desire, is to be more like You each and every day. Father, give us the opportunities. Help us to see these opportunities and take advantage of them, because Father, they may never come our way again. Help us to show people You in our actions, in our deeds, in our service to them. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your Son Jesus, who showed us just how much You truly love us and care for us as He died on the cross. Father, help us to take that love to the world, to those who are around us each and every day. It's through Your Son Jesus we pray. Amen.